Hey, Bucket, how's it going?
Yeah, we're up here in Olympia, Washington, getting ready to head south.
Oh, cool. How's Olympia? I've never been there before.
It's kind of a state capital, college town, a little bit of a bubble of liberalism and otherwise a bizarre state. Very strange mix of culture clash here.
Well, you know, that's a lot of places. A lot of places have a strange... that have a lot of liberal aspects to them. But anyway, have you been playing any shows with the Dubba Dubs yet?
Where?
The Dubba Dubs. They're the band who's going to be opening up for you at Humbrews tomorrow night.
No, I haven't played with them before.
Oh, okay. Well, they're pretty cool. Just played some of their music on here. Definitely excited to see you. You guys have, like, the Toasters... You guys impress me like no other band with how much touring that you can squeeze into a period of time, and for how long.
It's like a little bit of a crushing indictment of the music business at the moment that a band, if it can't tour, it can't make any money. I mean, if you look at the current state of the industry, where like platforms like Spotify or Pandora or whatever, Spotify mostly, I mean, they're the ones I rail against, are able to take our product, our goods and services, which is our music, and basically give it away for free, so they can make money off advertising and then not cut us in. It's kind of like really undercut the whole value of the back catalog. So musicians can't just sit back and live off their back catalog anymore, because it's not worth anything anymore. People are being kind of inculcated to not to want to pay for music anymore because it's free. And with a platform like Spotify, I mean, from a consumer's point of view, it's awesome, because you've got the biggest digital jukebox ever of the whole history of digitized music right there, either for free if you can stand listening to an advert, or for $10 a month to get the ad blocker. You basically don't have to buy any more records. So what that's done is it's changed the whole nature of the industry from a situation where people buy records and have a collection to people just renting the music, and therefore like trivializing it to piece of paper, blow your nose on it and throw away. So it's kind of a little bit of a shame what's happened to the music business over the last 5 years.
It is quite the shame, because an album can be a a piece of art in itself, like the whole thing. And so a lot of bands not doing that, and just releasing singles.
Well, I know you get that because you're a DJ and you probably have a pretty decent vinyl collection, and it's like you want to have a physical copy of the records you like. But for most people, they don't think about it like that. And it's kind of been, I mean, when you think about what pop music was in the 60s, where it was like basically one of the centerpieces of modern culture. Now it's just been like really pushed out to the edge, where people don't really think about music in the same way as they did in 50 years ago. I mean, when people came into town, people would come and see it in the airport and stuff. And now it's just been really reduced to the level of something that you use once and throw away. It's like very disposable now.
Yeah. Perhaps. Yeah, I don't know. Part of me, I guess, is a romantic. I still think that some people like buying some records. I had to take a rather large suitcase to fit all of mine in whenever I moved, but I was really heartbroken because I had to mail some of my records, and the post office lost a couple of my 45s alongside of some all of my books. So that was...
But you don't want me to tell you my vinyl sub story. I had about 2,000 pieces, which is pretty much my whole two-tone collection, which is pretty much everything on vinyl, including 12-inch remixes and everything from like 77 to about 80 in my basement in New Jersey. And I got 3 feet of water in that. So by the time I got back off tour...
Because of Sandy, or...?
I had them in. I had them in crates up on skids, wooden pallets in my basement. But there was a flood, and so I had 3 feet of water, and the records were sitting in that for a while. So by the time I got back to them, I got them out of the boxes. I had these like 12-inch cubes of vinyl and wrapped in blotting paper. It was a little bit heartbreaking.
Oh man, I would have been so heartbroken,
Yeah. And then the insurance company wouldn't cover them because they said it was seepage.
They said it was seepage. So they were trying to tell you it was your fault. Wow.
No, they just said it wasn't covered because they classified 3 feet of water in the basement as seepage. So they just got out of having to pay for them, unfortunately.
That sucks. That sucks so bad. I'm sorry. I would be mad.
I don't want to get on your show and bring you a downer, apparently.
Oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Anyway, so you guys aren't going to be releasing anything anytime soon. I saw the House of Sale single, which came out like a couple years ago, but you haven't had an album since One More Bullet.
We're not ready for a new one, but the only way I really want to release stuff now is basically in that format, maybe on 7-inch vinyl. I mean, those two songs on that record are not available in the digital domain, except from some wag who's put them up on YouTube with an advert for some like some hygiene products, I guess. But I'm just against really, investing money in that at the moment. One, because there's no return, and secondly, because I'd rather just use the money for tour support and just do more touring, as you said earlier, and just basically do that. Like last year, we played 227 shows, and this year we're probably on track to do just as many.
Cool, awesome. Are you touring with anybody different right now in the Toasters?
No, I just play in that band. That's it. I mean, some of my guys play in other bands, so. Mm-hmm. But I don't have the same complement of musicians all the time, and have a mm-hmm. different crew now for Europe and a different crew for the USA.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
I also object to paying all this obscene money for airfares, so I have a normal concept that money should be used to pay musicians.
But you all had to recently reschedule a lot of dates because of the snow back east. You'll be happy to hear that we don't get snow here.
Yeah, I know it's a bit of a drag. We got stuck in on the wrong side of that snow dump in Virginia. And you're from down there. I mean, West Virginia is a little bit more proactive, but in Virginia, they think it's a good idea to put the salt ban after the snow's fallen. So we got kind of stuck in Richmond for 2 days. But fortunately, we were able to help call up with somebody's bank or Murphy's kids there. So they put in some food and supplies and beer. But we lost 3 shows because of that. And then last week, we almost got smashed by that blizzard that was going through the Midwest. We managed to squeak our way into Denver and squeak our way into Salt Lake City. Unfortunately, out here, it just rains, so we can deal with that.
Yeah, unless the flooding gets to you, because we do have that. So make sure to.
I'm sure that happened more. We'll just paddle our way through it.
Just be careful. Don't drive through water that you can't see the bottom of. Talking about Chicago, you had a show sponsored in Chicago by that Ska Brewing Company. Are they going to release your Toasters beer at all again?
Well, I've been trying to get them to do it. The problem is with those guys, they're so busy expanding that they've figured out, always, yeah, we'll do it. That's a good idea. And it doesn't get around to it. But we're actually going to be in Durango on the back end of this tour. So I'll confront him face to face and see what he can do. But I mean, that was great getting that. I was surprised it sold out so quickly. But I'm going to try to get him either to make the same beer again, which was a black IPA. And in a 20-ounce bottle, which is pretty awesome, or make another one. So we'll see what happens. But those guys are doing gangbusters, and they started off basically as two guys making beer in their basements at college because they're too young to go and buy it, and they turned into this like huge industry. The whole craft brewing thing is like exploding, which is great. But those mm-hmm. guys in particular, I mean, they've reached a point now where they have to decide: are they going to try to buy an even more bigger mega complex in Durango, or are they going to build a brewery in another state, which is probably what's going to happen.
Okay, sweet. Well, I definitely hope the best for them, and tell them that they should have that Toasters beer 24/7, not just another limited run. because that would be cool.
I don't know you said.
I know. They have no idea who I am.
Yeah,
so
they'll be
craving
in their boots.
All right, cool. Anything else happening with you all besides you had to get a new windshield for your van? That sucks.
Yeah, it's just like basically getting a rock thrown up. But it happens periodically. I mean, they know me pretty well over at Safe Light at the moment. But I mean, it's just the perils of the road, you know, getting bricks through your window. But you know, got to carry on regardless. But we're looking forward to coming out to Humboldt Brewery and seeing what they got on tap there.
Sweet, yeah, we have a lot of fabulous beer here.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's some good. The last time they had a whole bunch of like chili sauces as well, like Humboldt chili sauce. Have you seen that? A hot sauce.
Yeah, I have seen it, but I haven't had any because the hottest hot sauce that I can stand is sriracha, and not a ton of it. Yeah, so yeah.
You'd hate to see what we have in the box under the front seat of our van, then.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's we run on three types of fuels in the toasters. One is diesel, one is beer, and the other one is hot sauce.
That's awesome.
Not necessary in that order.
Well, anyway, we were speaking through Facebook Messenger before while we were setting all this up, and you mentioned that you wanted to go ahead and play Pirate Radio, which is about Radio Caroline, but you also mentioned that you met a DJ from Radio Caroline, and for those audience members who don't know...
Yeah, I met one of the DJs, John. I can't remember exactly what the name is, John, something or other. We were playing a festival in Folkestone, and this guy came running up to the stage, clutching at a in retrospect record, and saying, this is great. And I said, yeah, thanks very much. And it turned out he was one of the DJs on the original boat back in the day, and he just heard the Pirate Radio tune for the first time. And so I had a good chat with him. But it's pretty funny. I don't know if you've seen that movie or not, but there's a scene in it where there's a little kid like listening to the radio like under his pillow with a flashlight late at night. Because they used to play, I mean, basically Midnight Till 2 was the the top 20 chart, which was like way past my bedtime when I was 9. So I used to basically take a flashlight out and listen to it under my pillow. So that's kind of pretty funny because that's exactly what I used to do. So that struck a note. But it's pretty crazy that they had, it wasn't just Radio Caroline, there were several boats out in the channel, not all of them British. I also met, a Dutch guy this summer who was a DJ on a comparable Dutch boat in the early 70s. So those ships had a lot to do with basically the revolutionizing and reformatting radio, which back then was like awful. You know, BBC radio was like really terrible. And so Radio 1 kind of, which was like much more geared towards pop culture and playing contemporary music that, you know, otherwise wouldn't have been heard on the airwaves. A lot of that was kind of forced because the BBC had to compete with the radio stations, which were like taking the listenership. So the Pirate Radios was like pretty crucial part in forming what happened in the late 60s and early 70s of the musical revolution that took place at that time.
Yeah, Radio Caroline is definitely one of the big things. Whenever I went to London, I actually looked them up. Whenever I studied abroad in London, I looked it up to find out if they were still doing the satellite radio because it transitioned from the ships to satellite radio at one point, but now they're just online, which is cool.
Yeah.
Have you listened?
Well, it's all gone now, but I mean, it's like in a sense now people like turning more to like internet radio to hear the kind of music that's not really being broadcast generally on network radio, but I mean, network radio now.
I know.
It's such a joke, you know.
I came all the way out here because this radio station that I'm on, KHUM, is the only radio station of its kind left in the country. It's the only free-form commercial radio station that's left. So I can now play like Chuck Berry next to the specials if I want to.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, isn't that
good? Good work, though. I'm looking forward to coming down there tomorrow and hanging out.
I'm looking forward to seeing you, too. That's awesome. And you're playing tomorrow once again over at Humboldt Brews. At 7:30, it's $12 and 21 plus. So it'll be pretty cool. Sweet. Well, I will see you then. Here's the Toasters with Pirate Radio here on KHUM.